2 Corinthians 5, when you get your place, if you would just stand up with me in reverence to God's word, rest your legs, amen, stretch them out, if you would, stand up, amen, amen, if you can't, we understand. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, you get your place, say amen. Amen. All right, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible says, let's go back to verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray, God, that you would give us liberty to preach. I pray, God, for the unction from on high. God, I cannot preach without your help. I need you to preach through me. God, these people here are here to hear your word. They're not here to hear what I think or what I can come up with and conjecture, but God, they need to hear from you. God, I pray that we would this morning hear from heaven. God, I pray that, Lord, if there's Christians here that need to be encouraged, you'd encourage them. Those that need to be challenged, you'd challenge them. God, those that need maybe to be reproved and rebuked, maybe they would get that. And then maybe there's someone here this morning that's lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the joy of sins forgiven. God, I pray on their behalf this morning that, God, you would convict them and draw them to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us today. Have your will and way in all that's said and done. And we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you in Jesus' precious name. That name that's above every name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. All right, you can be seated. Verse 17, he said, if any man be in Christ. If any man. Now here in this passage, Paul had been writing back in the earlier verses before we read about the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how, in light of the judgment seat of Christ, how we ought to live our life. Because one day every one of us that are saved is going to stand at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to give an account for how we've lived this body, in this body, and what we've done for the Lord, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Then he said in verse 14, he said, it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. It's not just the fear of God. Oh yes, I fear God, and there's a mighty awe in his presence and of who he is. And listen, we ought to have a healthy fear of God. But it's the love of God. When I look at what he did for me, that he loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son to the cross of Calvary. That ought to constrain you and I. It ought to, when I think about how much he loved me, it ought to make me want to be faithful. It ought to make me want to serve him even more and more. But then when it come down to verse 17, he said, because of all this, looking back, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And there's a phrase there that he said, if any man be in Christ. In Christ. When I think about this, before salvation, you and I were without Christ. We were, the Bible said, we were aliens. We were strangers. We had no hope, according to Ephesians chapter number 2, because we were without God in this world. But something took place at salvation. At salvation, things were radically and supernaturally changed. Amen. Are you listening? I said at salvation things changed. You see, I was without hope, without Christ. I was an alien. But now, at salvation I'm made nigh. At salvation I'm made new by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are we strangers, but we are now sons. No longer are we aliens, but we are adopted and we have become ambassadors of the kingdom of God. No longer do we not have any hope, but now we have hope. We have a hope that is steadfast and sure. We have the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are we without God, but we are now in Christ. In Christ. And I'll say this morning that if we are in Christ, there are some other places that we ought to be in this morning. And my question to you this morning is this: are you in? Are you listening? Are you in? That's the question this morning. That's what I'm preaching on. Are you in? Are you in? Number one, right quick. This ain't going to take long. Y'all just listen real good. Pay attention and it's to get to you. Are you in? Number one, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? Are you in? I didn't ask you if you're in anything other than this. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? You said, preacher, how do I know that I'm in Christ? Well, this has to do with our salvation. When you got saved, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hey, listen, if you're in Christ at the moment you got saved, the moment you trusted Christ, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and you turn from the old way and you turn to Christ, put all your faith in him. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into his body, in one body. Are you in him? That's the sport. In the book of Ephesians, Paul used the phrase in him a lot. In Ephesians 1:6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ, the beloved. And then in Ephesians 2:6, said, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you in him? Paul wrote in Romans 16:7, he's talking about some of the people that worked with him, and he said, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ. In Christ. Paul said they were saved, they were in Christ. The question this morning is, are you in? Are you in? Do you know that you're in Christ? You say, well, preacher, I do a lot of good things. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Are you in Christ? I'm not asking you if you've kept the law. I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Now, Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm in Christ? Well, number one, there'll be a coming in. If you're in Christ, you had to come in Christ. You say, how did I get in Christ? John 3:3, you had to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born of, look in John 3:3, real quick. I quote this a lot, but it'd be good for you just to look at it. In John chapter number 3, in verse number 3, listen to what he said. Jesus said this. Now, it's red letters. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see. And then look down at verse number 5. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, and as a fleshly birth, that's the physical birth, and of the spirit, that's a spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. If you're in Christ, there had to be a time when you got in Christ. There had to be a time where you entered Christ. And the only way you can enter Christ is by being born again. You say, how do I be born again? Here's how you be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's how you get saved. That's how you get in Christ. The question this morning is this: are you in? Are you in? Are you in Christ? John 1:1, somebody says, well, I'm in Christ because I decided I was going to be in Christ. Hold on, friend. You say, I'll make a decision to be saved. Hold on. But as many as received him, that's received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, listen, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Has there ever been a time where God worked in your heart? Not your family, not your tradition, not because you was born in a good home, not because your mom and daddy was Christians, not because your daddy was a preacher, or your grandma was a good Christian person, or your aunt or your mom or whoever it was. Hey, but has there ever been a time where God convicted in your heart and you personally repented of your sins and placed all your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone? Are you in Christ? How do you know if I'm in? Listen, number one, there'll be a coming in. There'll be a time when you trusted Him, you was born again. Paul had the road to Damascus where the light from heaven smote him, and he fell on his knees and he said, "Lord, what would Thou have me to do?" Has there been a time in your life where you had a personal encounter with God and you placed your faith and you came into Christ? See, when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you spiritually and baptizes you, and He places you in the body of Christ. He puts you in Christ. Are you in Christ? There's a lot of people may be in this building, but you may not be in Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? I'm not asking you if you're in America. I'm not asking you if you're in the good South. I'm asking you this morning, has there been a time, has there been a place where you personally had an encounter with the Holy God of heaven and you trusted Christ? And we're placed in Christ. Are you in Christ? Number one, there'll be a coming in. Number two, there'll be a changing. He said, therefore, if any man, that's any man. There's no exceptions there. If any man be in Christ, what did he say he'd be? He said he'd be a new creature. He is a new creature. There'll be a change. Not only there are coming in, but there's a changing. He's a new creature. You know what that word new creature means? It means brand new. Something's different. There's a change that took place. The night I got saved, January the 10th, 1999, I came down the aisle. I met the pastor standing about right here from the pulpit. There's a little room right over here on the side with me and another fellow walked back. I sat down on the steps, probably about right here. And I sat over here, and the guy started talking to me about the Romans Road. I said, "Sir, I can quote those verses." I said, "I need to get saved." I got on my knees. I prayed out to the God of heaven and asked Him to save me. I came out of that little room. I walked out of that church a brand new man. A different man. Listen, I still look the same, but there's a whole lot of things that changed in my life. First thing I can say about my life, hey, listen, that changed on the outside is Brother Robbie, when I got in my truck and I began to go out to church parking lot. Hey, listen, the radio station went from country KCY to number 107.1, the Gospel Jack. Yeah, my radio station changed. I went to work the next week and people said, "What's wrong with you? You don't talk like..." My language started changing. Listen, I didn't do all those things to get saved, but that thing happened to me because I got saved. Are you listening to me? The next Sunday morning, I woke up and I said, "Should I go to Sunday school?" Yeah, I better get up and go. I had a desire. I wanted to go to church. Are you listening to me? I wanted to go to Sunday school. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go back on Sunday night. I wanted to go every time the door was open. I even took off work sometimes to go to revivals and missions conferences and things like that. I took vacation days when I was working a shift that would keep me out. I just had a desire. You know why? Because something changed. Not because I was anything great, but there was a desire that God, as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When I got saved, I had a recliner. I'd sit in that recliner and I'd open up that King James Bible my mama got me. And I'd start reading it. And I didn't understand everything about it. Oh, but Brother Robbie, I sure loved to read about it. I sure loved to read it. I sure loved to look at it. As I read it more and more and more, God began to show me things. Oh, but listen, I didn't understand everything right off the bat, but one thing that took place is God put a desire. That was a desire that wasn't there before I got saved. I desired the Word of God. I desired to go to church. I desired to be around a different kind of people. Before I got saved, I hung out at the racetrack. I hung around some guys that they were just good old boys. I mean, they were good old boys, but they weren't Christians. They didn't talk about the things of God. They didn't know about the things of God. But I got a desire. Listen, it wasn't that I didn't like them fellas. It was, listen, that I wanted to be around some people that was going to help me grow. Are y'all listening? There's a change that took place. There's a change. Took place. If you're in Christ, there'll be a change. Listen, if you're in Christ, He said, He's a new creature. Watch this. Old things are passed away. There's a cleansing. There is a cleansing. Aren't you glad for the cleansing? You say, preacher, I got saved. I know I'm in Christ, but you don't know what I used to do. Hey, all things are passed away. But you don't know how bad it was. Hey, but you don't, listen, you're not recollecting and realizing how powerful the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'm telling you, the moment you got saved, those things that are in the past, old things are passed away. Doesn't matter what happened 15 years ago. Doesn't matter what happened 11 years ago. Doesn't matter what happened before you got saved. Don't matter who you was with. Don't matter what you've done. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, if you trust Christ and you're in Christ, old things are passed away. They're gone. Are you listening to me? Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Old things are passed away. That old life's gone. No need to go back and try to relive it. I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary. Are you listening? Too many people come down here and say a little prayer and get up and try to go out and live the same life. Wonder why they're never happy. I'll tell you why you're never happy. You're trying to live a life that's gone. Old things are passed away. Are you listening? If you're happy living like you used to live before you got saved, I'd question whether I was in Christ. If you're in Christ, there'll be a cleansing. Those things are gone. You don't have to live under the bondage. You don't have to live under the burden. You don't have to live under the guilt. I'm telling you, those things are gone. There's a converting. He said, not only did old things pass away, but he said, all things have become new. All things have become new. So those old things, it's not like my life's empty now. Listen, those old things are gone. I don't have to go back and live. But all things become new. You say, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. Are you listening? All things become new. I'm not the man I used to be. I promise you. Some of y'all's testified. I'm hearing a witness in here. What I'm saying, hey, listen, when you got saved, things change. You don't become perfect, but you definitely become different. And if you're not different, I question whether you're in Christ. Are you in Him? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? I'm not asking you if you're perfect, but I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Has there been a time when old things were passed away, all things become anew? You became a new creature. You were converted, changed. Has there been a time in your life? Number one, are you in Christ? Number two this morning. Number two, you say, preacher, I'm in Christ. Are you in church? Are you in church? Now, I'm not just talking about this morning. I understand. I'm not dumb. I know y'all are sitting here in front of me, okay? But are you in church? This has to do not with my salvation. I'm not saved by being in church. I'm not saved by coming to church. I'm not saved by joining the church. This has nothing to do with my salvation. This has everything to do with my service. Are you in church serving? Acts 2, in verse 41 through 47, Luke wrote, and he said, then they that gladly received his word and were baptized, that's those that were saved, and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added unto them. Added unto who? Added unto the church. Are you listening? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were believed were together and had all things in common. And verse 45 says, they sold their possessions and good, parted them to all men. And verse 46 says, and they, listen, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And listen, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Are you in church? It's God's will. Listen, if you're saved, are you listening? If you're saved, it's God's will for you to be in a local New Testament Bible preaching church. Serving in Him faithfully. It's God's will for your life. I know it is. There's no doubt about it. And Jesus wrote seven letters in Revelation chapter number 2 and 3. And He wrote those letters to seven local churches. If those people were floating around and they weren't stuck in a local church somewhere, they'd have never got the message Jesus had for them. Jesus talked about the local church. He said He's going to build a church in Matthew 6:18. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church.
You say, well, preacher, I don't have to be a part of a church. I can worship God on the lake, or I can worship God at the ball field, or I can worship God out in nature, somewhere out in the field, or up on a mountain. You may worship God, but you're not in church. Jesus, listen, he died and he bought and paid for with his blood the church. Not only does he want you to be saved, but he wants you to be serving him in the means of a local New Testament church. I'm not begging you to join the church this morning. Listen, here's the point. If you're in this church, you ought to be faithful to this church. Amen. Amen. I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that if you join the church, you didn't join the church just to get privileges. You didn't get a church to get a right to use the fellowship hall. But when you joined the church, you joined the church and rolled up your sleeve and said, hey, what can I do to help this church? I want to serve God. I want to sweep a floor. I want to clean a nursery. I want to watch a nursery. I want to sing in a choir. I want to go soul winning. What are you doing? Was it Kennedy? He said, ask not what this country can do for you. Ask what you can do for this country. God, give us some politicians like that. But hey, give us some Christians that would come to church and say, I'm not looking for what this church can do for me necessarily. I want to know what I can do to help this church. Paul wrote his epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and the Corinthians, and all of these epistles he wrote, Thessalonica, right, where he wrote to them. You know who he was writing to? He was writing these letters to members of local churches. He was teaching them how to discipline in local churches. He was teaching them how to operate in local churches. He wrote Timothy and Titus, teaching them how to set up and how to lead local churches. You know why? Because local churches is God's plan. It's God's plan for the Christian life. And you will never know the blessings of God until you learn to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling, Hebrews 10:25, of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's encouraging one another. That's saying, come on, let's keep going, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day of. Amen. Be faithful. Listen, be a member and be faithful. Amen. You say, preacher, I got to work. God knows when you got to work. Listen, when the ox is in the ditch, get it out. But don't throw the ox in the ditch and say, preacher, I got to go get it. Are you listening? Dr. Lee Robertson, great pastor, in years gone by, founded Tennessee Temple University that's floundered and gone under since he's been in heaven. But it was a powerhouse of a church, Highland Heights Baptist Church. Tennessee Temple trained many preachers. Listen to what Lee Robertson said. He had a great church at one time. Man of God. He said the first step to a backslidden life is missing church. The first step is a backslidden life is missing church. You know why? You don't, nobody means to just, you know, I don't think, miss one service, oh, I must never go back. But see, when you miss one service, the devil say, see, you didn't miss nothing. You're all right. You're all right. And he said, well, if I can miss one, I can miss two. And if I don't need Wednesday nights, well, I probably don't need Sunday nights. I sure don't need Sunday school. And see, over time, you get accustomed to it. Before you know it, you're not getting what God has for you. I'm not trying to be mean to you this morning, but I tell you, listen, hey, God's people need to get faithful. There's some people that ought to be in church this morning. Are you listening to me? There's some pews that's empty this morning that ought to be filled. There'll be some pews empty tonight that ought to be filled. There'll be some pews empty Wednesday night that ought to be filled. Commit. I'm talking about when you join the church, you commit. You say, well, I'm not serving that. No, you're not serving this pastor. You may help this pastor. You may assist this pastor as he's leading this church. This is God's church. Amen. And if God put it in your heart to join this church, God wanted you to be faithful to it. He wanted you to roll up your sleeve and go to work. He didn't call you here to be critical. He didn't call you here to fix every problem. He called you here to roll up your sleeves, go to work, win souls. And I say, amen, preacher, win souls. Amen. Are you in church? Are you in church? Listen, you say, well, preacher, I come on Sunday mornings. I get all I need. Let's see. There's a Sunday school hour where a Sunday school teacher has prayed for you and has prepared and studied. If you don't come for that, you're missing that. And then there's another service on Sunday night. And then, listen, the preacher studied and tried to prepare. And then on Wednesday night, the church, the pastor studied again. And so you're coming on Sunday morning, and you're coming to 11. And here's what you're doing, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're coming on one service, you're getting a quarter of what God had for you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would want to eat a quarter of the meals you ate this past week and let the rest go? Now, some of us could probably, you know, need that maybe from time to time. But how many think you could eat a quarter of the meals that you eat during the week and stay healthy very long? Anybody? See, honestly, if we don't eat but a quarter of the meals, we're going to be hurt. We're going to lose vitamins we need. Is everybody all right? I'm just trying. You said, "Preacher, I just don't need it." Listen, I'll give you some advice. If you've got to be out of church working, you ought to get you a CD. You ought to find you a preacher on the radio. Are you listening? You ought to find something to feed your soul and help you. I'm trying to help. There's good preachers on the internet. There's good preachers on the radio still, thank God, in these parts anyway. They CDs. All you got to do is come in here and you can get CDs of preaching. Are you listening? You need the Word of God. You'll never grow without. Are you in church? Are you in church? Let me say this. If you don't learn to be plugged into a local church, be faithful and serve God in a local church, you will never, never, never know the blessings God has for your life. Number three. Not only are you in Christ, not only are you in church, but number three, are you in communion? Are you in communion? You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Let me help you. Communion has to do with our fellowship. See, you can be in church this morning but not be in communion. You can be sitting here this morning and not be in communion with Christ. You can be saved. Did you know you can be saved and not be in good communion with Christ? You can have a relationship without having fellowship. Amen. You can do things that break the fellowship. You may still be a son. You're not losing your relationship, but you can lose fellowship. You may be sitting here this morning and you don't have the fellowship that God wants for you. You may be sitting here this morning and you're here, but you're not in fellowship with the church. You say, "Oh, I'm here." Well, let me say, if all you do is cause problems and all you do is talk about people and all you do is criticize people and all you do is cause problems, guess what? You're not in fellowship. Fellowship, listen, here's the idea. There's two fellas in the same ship trying to go the same way. Fellowship. It's a spirit of oneness. It is an idea that we are together. Listen, fellowship was Paul's plea in 2 Corinthians 13:14. He said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Amen. In Philippians 2, he said, if there be any, Philippians chapter number 2, in verse number 1, in verse through 4, he said, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love," watch this, "if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Paul said he wanted you to have fellowship of the Spirit, being one spirit, one mind, one accord. That's the plea. John wrote in 1 John, said that was his purpose. He said he wrote 1 John 1. He said, "That which we have seen and heard," he's talking about Jesus, "declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us," that's with the brethren, "and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John said, this is why I'm writing 1 John, so that you'll learn that you can have fellowship with the brethren and fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ. The question, do you have fellowship? Are you in communion? In John 17, it was Jesus' prayer. In John 17, that's really the Lord's prayer. And Jesus is praying that great high priestly prayer. And he's praying for those that God was going to save. And then he says this in John 17:21. He said that they all may be one. "As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus said he wanted the church to be one. It don't mean one person. He means in one accord. He's in a spirit of oneness. As the Father and the Son are one, there's two persons there. But there's a spirit of oneness. There's supposed to be you and I in one unity. A church, listen, a church with no unity is a church with no effect, no power. He said that when they're in one, he said that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. If the church is not in unity, the world's not going to believe. Are you listening? He wants us to be in communion. It's God's plan. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:9, he said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He said when you got saved, he called you, not just a relationship, but he said he called you to the fellowship. You see, God wants more than you to come to church. Coming to church is a great thing. But God wants you to spend time in his word, personally. God wants you to spend time in prayer. God wants you to have a communication with him. God wants you to stay in communion. You can be married to your husband or your wife. If you don't ever talk to them, you don't have anything to do with them all throughout the week, you may sit down on Sunday and eat dinner together, but you're not in communion. Are you listening? I mean, it's going to take time. If you and your wife's going to be in communion, this idea, it means to be together. It actually has the idea of to be intertwined or to intercourse. Communion, spending time together, being close. And God wants you, he has called you to fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ. He's called you to be close. He's praying, he's asking, he wants you to be close to him and close to one another. Number four, are you in Christ? Are you in church? Are you in communion? Or number four, are you in contempt? Are you in contempt? We're saying, preacher, what is contempt? Contempt? We think about people in our day, they're in contempt of the court. They're in contempt of the law. It has the idea of a person who is in disobedience to the rules and the orders of a court, and they are guilty of a punishable offense. They're in contempt of court. If you have a court date, you're on trial, and you don't go, you're in contempt of court. If you don't obey the orders, you are in contempt of the law. Are you listening? The word contempt, it comes from a word, it's the state of being despised. In a scriptural sense, it has the idea of shame or disgrace. It's the act of despising is the act of viewing or considering and treating as mean, vile, and worthless, disdain, hatred of what is mean or deemed and vile. And this word contempt, Webster said, it is one of the strongest expressions of a mean opinion which the language affords. Are you in contempt? You see, if you're not in Christ, are you listening to me? If you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, you're in contempt of God's perfect will for your life. You're against the will of God. If you're not saved, you're not in Christ, you're in contempt. Daniel said in Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, hallelujah. But he said, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. If you're not saved, I got news for you this morning. Are you listening? Everybody, I want you, if you don't hear nothing else, I want you to hear this. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Well, they went to a better place. I don't know if they did or not. That's between them and God. Everybody don't go to a better place. If you're not in Christ, he says you're going to wake to shame and everlasting contempt. Amen. That's the book. There's still a place called hell, church. People that die without Christ, and they're not saved, they're not in Christ. It's not a good thing to talk about in these days. People don't want to hear it, but I'm telling you, it's still the truth. There's a place called the lake of fire. Amen. People that are not in Christ. Amen. Number two, not only if you're not in Christ, you're in contempt, but if you are in Christ, but you're not in church, you're in contempt. You're in violation of God's will. God wants you in church, serving Him, faithful. Number three, if you're in Christ and you're in church, but you're not in communion, you're not in fellowship with God, with Christ, and with His church, you're in contempt. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Are you in contempt? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're in contempt. If you're saved, but you're not in church, you're not serving Him faithfully, you're in contempt. If you're in church, saved, no. But you got aught against a brother, aught against somebody, you're not clearing that up, you're not getting that right, you know what you are? You're in contempt. And you'll never be right until you get it right. You'll be in contempt. Are you in? That's the message. Are you in? And let me ask you this. If you're in, what are you doing to help others get in? If you're in, what are you doing to help somebody else? If you're in Christ, what are you doing to help somebody else get in Christ? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you giving a tract? Are you witnessing to others around you? If you're in Christ, what are you doing to help others get in Christ? Let me say this. If you're in Christ and you're in church, what are you doing to get others in church? There may be people you can be friendly to that visit. What are you doing to help them get plugged into a local New Testament church? What are you doing when you see people that are out of fellowship with the church? They're not where they ought to be. What are you doing to help get them back in? What are you doing to help people that are not right with God, but they're saved and they're out? What are you doing to help restore them? See, Galatians said, ye which are spiritual. He said, if a man be overtaken with fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. What are you doing to help restore somebody? If you're in Christ, if you're in church, if you're in fellowship, what are you doing to help somebody else get in? Are you doing what you can do? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God help us this morning. There may be someone here this morning that's not saved. God, I pray for them. God, that you'd show them they need to be in Christ. They've never been made a new creature. Only you can show them that. Only you can reveal that in their heart. I pray you'd open their eyes and their hearts this morning. And then, Lord, there may be some Christians here this morning. Maybe they're here and maybe they're just not plugged into a local New Testament church. Maybe they haven't been faithful. God, I pray you'd work in their heart. And then maybe there's somebody here this morning and they say they want to be here. They want to get plugged in. They want to join a church. Maybe you work with their heart. And then there may be some here this morning. They're in church. They're here. But they're just not in fellowship. Not in communion. And there's something in their heart that they need to get right with you or with someone else. And I pray, God, this morning you'd work with the lives and the hearts of your people. God, I pray you'd have your will in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're standing all across the auditorium.